Okay, if you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. We're going to talk about smelly feet today. It's exciting, huh? Your ladies are all saying, yeah, I've had that odor in my house before. John chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 to 20. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you asking your blessings on the reading of your word, that Lord, it might touch our hearts, and today we might get a better picture, the complete picture of who you were, Lord. The excitement in our hearts should lead us through the week to get out and tell others that don't know you. And Father, help us, please, Lord. May you move on every heart here today to realize that you came to this world to save that which was lost. For everyone here that might not know you, Father, I pray you burden their hearts to the point that they can't help but respond. For those who do know you, Lord, that have drifted away, I pray this day they might find strength in your scripture. In thy name we pray. Amen. Last week, as we talked about Jesus and his statement of purpose, his acceptance of his responsibility, when he made the statement, What shall I do? Should I ask God to deliver me from this hour? And we talked about how he took personal responsibility for what God had given him to do. Christ taught us a lot in his word last week, and I hope this week the impact of what we're getting ready to study will move on your lives. It is truly a deep, deep passage of scripture. It's so hard for me to visualize that the Son of God, Almighty God, was willing, and if you will, get in your minds, that he took his outer garments off, wrapped a towel around his waist, fell to his knees, and washed a bunch of dirty feet. What an amazing picture that is of total humility. And I look at us in the world today, and I see how humility is something we're definitely lacking, that we get so caught up in the materialistic things and what we want, that many, many times we forget what it's like to be humble. And I think Christ has painted a picture here that's unbelievable. You know, as I took a late evening trip this week through the canyon, going to Espanola. I normally, when I go through the canyon at night, I just take a nap. But my wife told me to stay awake, so I stayed awake all the way through. I looked at the walls of that canyon around me, and the 23rd Psalm came. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I saw the power and the we know many people have been killed in that canyon from falling rocks and just how the things there can fall and destroy. But I looked at the power that created those things, and I thought of this verse, that he who created all of that power had the humbleness to fall to his knees with a towel and wash the feet of those who weren't even worthy to walk with him. What an amazing thing that is, isn't it, folks? That God, in a human form, washed the feet of man. And not over only those men that were there, but Judas Iscariot. Can you imagine one of us being capable of humbling ourselves, that we would take our enemies and those who would betray us, and that we would be willing to humble ourselves at their feet? What that would say, what power that statement we had as he took that foot of Judas Iscariot, as he scrubbed that foot. Can you imagine the turmoil in his heart as he realized, this man will betray me? As he stated that to the crowd, one of you will betray me. But he took that foot, that old dirty foot, of the one who would later kick him in the face with that foot in his actions, and he washed that foot clean. Then he washed the other foot clean. You know, there's some churches that foot washing is a part of the ordinance for them in the Lord's Supper. And be honest with you, folks, this story in John, I'm not absolutely sure this was the Last Supper, but many churches tie it into this. But we do see they use it as an ordinance in the church. And I'm not sure it should be an ordinance, but I think it's a beautiful ceremony, the washing of feet. Because I personally can't imagine anything I'd rather less do than handle your feet. I just can't picture anything that I would less likely want to do than wash somebody's dirty feet. I love my wife with all my heart, but I really don't want to wash her feet. I would though, honey. I want you to know that I would. You know the picture, to get it in your mind, you've got to really grasp that day and time. You and I walk around with shoes and socks on, and we have the ability to repel the dirt that comes our way. I mean, and we walk down paved roads or sidewalks, and we stay clean. But get in your mind, if you will, in that age, that it was a dusty road, and in those towns, they would throw their garbage in the streets. There's no telling what you walked through on these disciples walked through on the way to that supper with the Lord. No matter what had accumulated between their toes, if you will. Some of that black juicy stuff that you see in there. All that nasty stuff is in there. And I'm telling you, dirty feet to me just... But to get the picture, you have to grasp it. And you know, Carmelita and I, when we had the joy of going to Hawaii last year, everybody over there just wears flip-flops. Yeah, they don't have shoes, just flip-flops. And I know there's some here in this church that swear by flip-flops. And that's okay. But I can remember just even walking on a beach through the sand, the junk that accumulates on your feet. And it feels nasty. And I would never ask somebody else to scrape that junk off my feet. But our Lord, no matter what was on those feet, he fell to his knees and he washed those feet. He cleansed those feet. He brought them, back into a state of cleanliness. What a picture that is. That God on his knees in front of you, washing your feet. Yet you and I are too arrogant to help one another out sometimes, aren't we? We're too busy to take care of the needs of others. We're caught up in life. And you know, this God of ours was getting ready to hang on a cross. He had more important things on his mind than washing a bunch of dirty feet. He knew what was coming in a very short time, that he would hang on that cross. Yet he took the time to teach them the way to live. He took the time to bring a point across to them that even though I am God, I came as a servant. Then he says, this is something you guys ought to do between you. Something you ought to do for one another. I want to teach you a lesson that to serve one another is much more important than leading one another. What a picture that would make. You know, we see all these pictures across the world hanging in churches and in homes of the Last Supper. I think the most beautiful picture that you could find would be of Jesus Christ washing those disciples' feet. Because that pointed to who he was. Why did Jesus come? He came saying, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to serve a world that should serve him because he created the world and everything about the world. Can you imagine the power that he had to stop it all in that moment, but he chose to take one step further into humility and fall to his knees and wash those dirty feet? You know, in Exodus 21, it talks to us and describes slaves in that time. And it tells that a slave who is indentured to the family will serve that family for 6 years and be set free in the seventh year. And if during that time that slave marries or has children, well, the slave is set free, but the family would be kept, his family would be kept by the family he served. And he had an option. He had the option to remain and serve the family and stay there with his family, or even if he wasn't married, to just stay and serve that family. If he chose that way, then the master of that house would take him out to a tree or a hard surface and would punch a hole in his ear with an awl to mark him as a free slave who voluntarily served. So he was marked as a servant. And you know, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to be marked as a servant. See, he came that to die on that old cross. He came to serve mankind as the living sacrifice. And the Bible ties us all the way through from Genesis to Revelation and what Jesus Christ was coming to do and what he did. And in this picture, we see him assume the role of a slave in that room. Because that was a slave's job, to wash the feet. If you went to visit someone in those days, you entered their house and your nasty, dirty feet in your sandals, they would remove those sandals and there'd be a pitcher of water there close to the entryway to where they would wash your feet. It was a sign of humility. It was a sign of servitude. It was a stamp that I am a slave to what God the Father has told me to do. Jesus made some beautiful statements in his life here on earth. But this one is so precious. I hope that all of you today, if you don't remember anything I say, if you don't, and that won't be unusual, but if you don't remember anything I say, that you go home with a picture in your mind of Jesus Christ on his knees with nothing but a towel, cleaning the feet of his disciples. Take that picture with you. And the next time you look at another people group and feel a little prejudice, oh, God help you. The next time you see someone who doesn't have as much as you and you think, oh, that poor soul, God help you. Because he who had everything been on his knees with nothing. And that's what he's telling us here. You know, gossip, racism, prejudice, all these things that mankind has, if you could take this story to heart, you would never suffer from any of those afflictions. Because you cannot think yourself better than someone else and see the Son of God on his knees. There's no way you can do it. If you can, your heart is so hard, there's no hope for you. This was the Son of God. This was our salvation on his knees serving man. What a beautiful story it is. Then he comes to Peter. And you know how dearly I love Peter. Him and me a lot alike. We're always opening our mouth and saying things that we regret later. Peter says, Lord, you're really going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, yes, I am. Verse 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now there's two words in here. You see the term washed. One actually means bathed, and one means washed. Christ is telling Peter here a big story. He's saying, Peter, I'm going to clean your feet. I'm going to clean you up, or you don't have any part of me. And this is actually the meat of what we're going to talk about today. Peter says, Lord, you can't do this. And I admire Peter's attitude. It was like, you're our master. You're our rabbi. You're the Son of God. You can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have any kind of fellowship with me. So Peter, in a typical Peter statement, says, well, then, Lord, wash my head. Wash all of me. Get me clean. And the Lord says, oh, whoa, 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 Peter. You're already clean. You've already been bathed. I need to clean you up a little bit. Your feet are dirty. So we're going to talk about today, folks. We're going to talk about eternal salvation. We're going to talk about getting cleaned up when we need cleaned up. I hope every person here today will pay attention to the main theme that we're going to deal with. You remember in chapter 10, I told you there was part of chapter 10 we were going to save to a later point in this study of John. Well, today is the day, so flip back, if you will, to chapter 10, verses 27 to 30 in the book of John. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And we'll clarify something real quickly, and it may irritate some here today, but it does not say that no man except yourself can pluck you out of my hand. Christ makes an absolute statement here, and that's what we're talking about as we lead into this feet washing, is eternal security. See, Christ told Peter, you've already been bathed. You're already clean. Now I just need to wash away the sin that's gathered on your feet. Jesus made a promise in chapter 10 saying, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. What's follow me mean? Obey. Go where I go. All right. Go where I go. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, folks, understand, one is no way conditional upon the other. Christ made a commitment. He is stating what his sheep should do. But he makes a promise here. I give unto them eternal life, and no man may pluck them out of my hand. Now, what's the word eternal mean to you?
Forever.
Okay, it's that. Everybody accept that? If Christ said, I give eternal life, he doesn't say, I give eternal life that can end, does he? He says, I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them a life that never ends. Now, the word eternal in the New Testament has a lot of connotations to it. It means everlasting, without end, and it means a quality of life. That from the day you accept Christ, you should hear his voice and follow him, because you have achieved that place where you have an example to follow that gives you a clean life. But it makes a promise of everlasting life within it also. And Christ says, I give my sheep something that lasts forever, that never ends. And then he makes a bold statement. He's like the big guy on the block saying, I dare you to try to take him away from me. He's saying, nobody can take my children out of my hand. No one. Do you see that in that verse? No man may pluck me out and pluck them out. It doesn't say you can take yourself out. It says no one can remove them once they're mine. And then he gets the next bigger guy on the block and says, my Father is greater than all. Remember when you was a kid? My dad can beat up your dad. Christ's making a my dad statement here. My dad is the biggest guy in town, and if you don't trust that you're in my hand, you're in his hand. What a statement we have here. A statement of salvation that lasts forever. A statement that says that once you know me, once you've accepted me, once you belong to me, no matter what you do, you cannot be taken away from me. Now you can get yourself into messes where nobody can recognize you belong to me. But once Christ is your Savior and that indwelling Holy Spirit becomes a part of your life, the Holy Spirit is now your DNA. You're identified. If there was a way to test you, you would show that you're a child of Jehovah God, that you're a permanent child of God, and that nothing can take you away from that. See, so many Christians miss out on the joy of salvation. You know why? They don't understand God's love. That's why when they get in trouble, they keep doing wrong. That's why they wait till the last minute to run back to the Father for help. That's why they don't get things right in their lives, because they don't understand God's love. They can't understand a love so big that that love can't be violated. And unless you understand that your salvation is for eternity, you don't understand God's love. And it's bigger than you and I. God told the prophet Isaiah what? My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So quit trying to understand God. You ain't never going to get there. What you can understand is the promises God made. And you accept those things. And I think there's probably somebody here saying right now, but Pastor, you don't know how bad I am. You know what, guys? I don't care. We're going to talk about getting rid of that bad here in a minute. But right now, what I want you to grasp is if you've ever truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still His child. Wherever you're at in your life, you're still His child. There's not a parent in this room that will stand up and tell me that your children can be so bad you would disown them. And if you did verbally disown them, and there was a test taken on them, a blood test, whose DNA would show up? Yours. And that's the same with Almighty God. Nothing you can do will cause Him to disown you. His love is too big, and most people never get their arms around that love. If we did, you know how happy we would be? Do you know how much easier it would be to go through a trial in life if you fully comprehended God's love? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Folks, I spend a great deal of my time as a pastor talking with Christians who wonder, does God still love me? And I make a blanket statement in it. Whoever hears this on the internet, whoever takes a CD, whoever gets one of these CDs, I make a blanket statement to you. If you ever belong to God, you still belong to God. That don't change. I give unto them eternal life, and no man may pluck them out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it beautiful? Somebody, flip in your Bibles to Hebrews 10:14. Now, I have a real hard time finding Hebrews, so I'm just going to say it for you, okay? He died one time to provide a perfect sacrifice. And I'm paraphrasing for you. One time, He presented, one time, He entered the Holy of Holies. One time, He provided salvation. One time it was offered. If you can lose it, how are you ever going to get it back? Because He's not going to come and die again. One time, Jesus Christ offered up the perfect sacrifice. The man who had walked on this earth for years. The man who spent His time here with mankind. The man who never sinned. And yet he had time to get on his knees and wash some smelly feet. He stayed perfect. And one time He was offered up. And that one time paid the price for you, because He gave you eternal life. Did it say in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they earn my eternal life? You see that anywhere in there? If you have a version that has that, throw it away. Don't, not what it says, okay? The Bible says, I give unto them eternal life. Do you understand that we're not big enough to earn anything with God? You can't do it, guys. Quit trying. Quit trying to earn salvation and realize He gives it away. All we got to do is reach out and take it. And most of you here today, I know, are Christians, so I'm not worried about your salvation, but I want you to understand the fact that it's yours forever, that you can't lose it. That's what He was getting across to Peter, that we're going to go back here in a minute. Your salvation is for all eternity. And you may fall away. And He may scold you. He may punish you. He may do any number of things to bring you back into fellowship. But He will not take away your salvation. If He does, then He lied to me. He promises me that He gave me eternal life. He promises me that it's eternal. He promises you, if you're here today and you've drifted out of line with God and got all messed up, or you've become complacent and you're just been a Christian forever and man, it's just one of those things and you don't appreciate it the way you should, stop and understand it is eternal. Stop and understand that the one who gave you that salvation fell to His knees and washed a bunch of stinky feet. Understand that it cannot be taken from you, and that for the rest of your life here and for your life in eternity with our Lord, that you will be in His presence. Now let's talk about this washing of feet. Let's look how important. I'm going to read to you from Psalms 119:9. And the significance of the washing. 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Listen to this. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So how do you clean your path in life? By cleansing yourself with the word. You know, in many weddings that I perform, I use Ephesians 5:25 and 26. And I talk about how the man is commanded by God to be like Christ. And it says that Christ prepares the bride, the church, to present her to Himself spotless. And how does He do it? By the washing of the word. Do you realize the word of God, when you get dirty in life, washes you clean? Do you realize it takes the stains, the perm? You don't need spray and wash. You got God. Yeah, all you have to do is pick up God's word, and those sins that have accumulated in your life can be washed clean. That's how Christ cleanses His church, by scrubbing her with the word, by taking that Bible that you hold in your hands, folks, and taking it and absorbing it and studying it. I'm not talking about just reading it. I'm talking about taking it as the love letter it is and let it cleanse you, because it's very hard to stay active in sin if you're active in the Bible. You understand that? If you're saved. There's a whole bunch of lost people in the world and a bunch of lost preachers that preach on Sunday from that word, and it's never cleaned them. But if you're a Christian, when you pick up that word, it will cleanse you. It will bring you. Why did Christ wash Peter's feet? He said, Peter, you know what? You're already bathed. The word means bathed. Now all you need is a little touch-up. A little touch-up. Any of us that would get up in the morning and take a, well, tomorrow's Monday. I doubt many of us bathe on Monday. We did it on Sunday. But if we bathed on Monday and we went out and walked down a dirt road, what part of us would get dirty? Unless you fall down a lot, just your feet. Okay? You would be dirty in your feet. And that's why He's trying to tell Peter. Peter, I've already bathed you. When you made the statement, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you acknowledged who I was. You're bathed, Peter. You're clean. He says all the disciples are clean except one. He said, not all of you. We know Judas was there. Now, Peter, if you want to have continued fellowship with me, let me knock the dirt off that's accumulated. See, this is back to the dirty feet, folks. Our lives are like our feet. The way we walk through life, we pick up sin. Every one of us sinned at least once this week. Many of you have sinned since I started preaching. Think, I wish I had shut up. Sin is always on you, okay? You walk through it. You get dirty. I've told you this before. If there's a mud puddle and you got some brand new white tennis shoes and you walk through that mud puddle, is that mud puddle turn white or the shoes turn brown? Shoes turn brown, okay? So as you get dirty in this world, you pick up dirt. Some of you may have known Christ for many, many years, but you've drifted into the stains and the dirt. And you drift in and out of church, and you find your way back and forth, and you jump church to church, and your Bible's a part of your life for the week, and then it's not. And all of a sudden, you're in a mess in your life, and the pressure's on you, and you say, oh, God, help me. And He says, my child, all you need to do is pick up my word. Let me touch you up. Let me get rid of the toe jam. Let me clean you up, Lord. Make you presentable, he says. Let me fix you. That's what he's telling Peter. I don't know how anyone cannot believe in eternal security when they read this story. Christ says you're already clean. I just need to wash the dust off you picked up. And it's a lesson to you and I, all of us. Anybody in here spent their whole life not getting dusty? Go ahead, lie to me. I dare you. We pick up the stains of this world. And until we enter into that world, we'll never be clean all the time. We sin. We sin. And Christ, from his knees, says, let me clean you up. Let me bring you back into fellowship with me. You know, some of you, I promise, have walked in this church this morning just because it's Sunday. Okay? Some of you walked in here this morning hoping that you could go and do your socially correct thing and go home and get your check mark on your calendar and don't have to worry about it again for 6 days. That's not how it works. If you walked in the door of this building today, you're going to walk out having heard the truth. Don't have to accept it. That's your choice. Whatever you do with your life. But today, I'm telling you, Christ gave us such a beautiful picture here. Let me clean you up. Let me fix you. Let me tune it up and bring you back into fellowship with me. Folks, we live in a world, and on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, you really ought to be coming to church. And I know that's tough, but you really ought to come. We're studying about the end times, and we'll be in it for quite a while. And you take the time to look at this world today, and it so fits into the description of the Bible. I tell you what, I know that I can never be perfect, but I have such a desire to be right with the Lord when He returns. I don't want to get caught up in the clouds in the middle of a sinful life. I don't want to be taken to face Him who died for me carrying a bunch of nasty sin on my back. I want for Him to have washed my feet. I want to stand in His presence clean and in fellowship with Him. I want to know that I surrendered my life to Him. I want to know that He loved me so much that if I'd have been in that room, He'd have got on His knees in front of me and washed my feet. I want to know that I took the time to wash somebody else's feet. I want to know that the instruction from the Lord is to His disciples as that we wash each other's feet. A lot of symbolism there and a lot of reality there. I don't doubt at all that it's very proper in a church to wash feet. But there's a lot of symbolism there in that we help each other stay strong. Remember Hebrews chapter 10, around 28. He talks about, as the end of the world comes, to be faithful and going to church. He says that you go to build one another up. That we're here not only to learn, but we're here to exhort one another and to help one another in our trials and our temptations. We're here to help one another when that person needs help. We are here to wash one another's feet. If my friend back here, Warren, has got sin in his life, why would I not go to him and say, brother, let's go get your feet clean? Why would I not take him to God's Word and help him to wash that dust away? Why wouldn't I do that? Why? Because the world would look at me like I was funny. But does that matter? You know when you're in heaven what the world that derides and laughs at Christianity, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be crying in hell. That's where they're headed. So shouldn't we be able to realize through our reward that God has already given us to do the right thing here on earth? To wash more than just on a Sunday? That little dose of scripture you get in here is not enough. that's what you're dependent on. I tell you this so many times, folks. If you're dependent on what I tell you on a Sunday morning to keep you clean through the week, then you're dumb. Okay? Two big reasons is, one, we all sin a bunch more than gets covered on Sunday. Second is, folks, is I'm not knowledgeable enough to help you get through this, all the messes you get into. You need this. You need God's Word. And He showed us all that in that little room. How many of you guys played sports in high school? Okay. How'd you like the locker room? I didn't like it. It was nasty. And I had to let all those people invade my privacy. Okay? Had to take my clothes off, get in the shower. Spent 12 years in the Air Force. Any assignment I ever had where I lived in a barracks, it was group showers. It's kind of humiliating, stripped down to where you have nothing, isn't it? Yet Christ gladly stripped off His outer garment, took His robe off, and took that towel. What a lesson it is for us. If you need help, I need to wash your feet. If I need help, you need to come wash my feet. I don't envy you for washing my feet, but you need to come wash my feet. Christ says you need to do these things that I do for you, because the servant is not greater than the master. 14, if I then, your Lord, He acknowledges His deity, and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, what do we need to do today to get this place that Christ is talking about to get our feet washed? And we're going to read one more passage, then we're going to close. Turn over, if you will, to 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is that dust on your feet, brothers and sisters, friends. It just simply means today, folks, if you want to reestablish your relationship with Jesus Christ, tell Him you're wrong. You know what confession means? It just means agreeing with God. That's all it means. And repentance means to stop doing what you're doing. Go the right direction. If you're in sin, is it really hard to agree with God? Now, I'm sure that everyone here has pet sins. We've talked about before. Things that you know God wasn't talking to you when He wrote the Bible. You were exempted from that. You had divine exemption. But folks, if you want to confess, it means you agree with God that what you're doing is wrong. That's all it takes. Turn away from that sin. And the Bible tells us what? He is faithful and just to what? Cleanse us, forgive us. Do you want Jesus washing your feet today? In your heart, are you saying, oh, I would love to reestablish that? Maybe some of you have become complacent. Maybe you're at a point in your life you're saying, you don't even remember what it was like to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, fully clean relationship. Today you can have it if you confess your sin. And say, Lord, wash my feet. I'm going to take your word, Lord, and I'm going to get clean, get close to you again. Today is the day. Please stand. Brian, do you know Power in the Blood? 45? Turn your hymnals, number 45. We're going to talk about the blood that washed you clean. Remember this. The blood of Christ washed you clean. You're already bathed. But you may need a tune-up. You may need your feet washed. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, this morning we thank You for the joy of Your Word, the promises in Your Word, and Lord, so much to see how You loved, how specifically Peter, who would deny You three times, Lord, that You were down scrubbing His feet. Judas, who would betray You, You still offered him opportunity. Father, today we know You offered each and every one of us the opportunity to be clean and right with You. May we not leave here dirty. In Thy name we pray. Amen.